Good afternoon. You are joining the second hour of We the People Radio. You can find all sorts of good stuff, all of our archives, information about sponsorship, contact information, and we love your ideas for shows, by the way. You can find all that at wethepeopleradio.us. And if you want to, you know, prank call Bill, his phone number's there. It's available.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, call me. I won't answer. That's not a problem.
Never answers. It's the worst. You're like your mom. Got the phone off in the glove box. Yeah, it's just for emergency.
I always leave my phone on. I just turn the ringer off. That's all.
Uh-oh.
No, you're...
There we go.
We have
Skype. We have phone calls.
You've been on the air the whole time. You're going to have to bear with me.
Oh, no.
Continue like you're on the air.
Pretend like we're on the air?
Because I have to talk to Maria.
No worries.
For a moment.
I see what you're saying, but we just can't hear anything
just
in our
stall.
Little...
We're excellent
dun, dun, dun,
at stalling.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, first hour, we talked about Putin.
Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. And actually, that book sounds awesome. Putin's Master Plan was written to come out just before the election. And no, Trump is not in the credits. So he's apparently not as big a pals as everybody thought. So this hour, we are going to be chatting with Maria Espinoza from the Remembrance Project.
Remembrance Project.
And also Ruth Johnston Martin, whose late husband was Detective Donald Johnston from the El Monte Police Department. And I do not know the story there on him, but I'm sure that Ruth will tell us when we get her connected. She'll be joining us by phone. Maybe she is connected.
Ruth is connected.
Ruth!
Hi, I'm here, Erin.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
So, tell us, how did you get involved with the Remembrance Project? I'm assuming it has something to do with your late husband.
Yes, actually, I have a friend, Agnes Gibney, whose son was murdered by an illegal alien, and my husband, Detective Donald Johnston, and her husband, Mark Gibney, who was the chief of police, worked together. And when she began just participating with the program, she really thought that this would be a good fit for me, seeing what I had been through. And so she made the call, and I've been participating ever since.
Nice, because the Remembrance Project is all about advocating for the families of victims killed by illegal aliens.
Yes. Oh, my goodness, the Remembrance Project has done so much for us as families. You know, the other thing, too, is Mr. Donald Trump really took us under his wing. And as a participant of the Remembrance Project and after attending meetings with Donald Trump, you know, I can say without a shadow of a doubt that he heard our voices and our concerns about illegal immigration. But Maria Espinoza, who is our director and founder of the Remembrance Project, has just done an amazing job of being an advocate for those of us who've suffered just tremendous loss.
And this is a much larger problem, or a much more widespread problem, maybe, than I think most people realize.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that Maria and her husband, Tim, were taking notice of. They were just looking at just articles out there and just connecting the dots and seeing that there was, it's just a pandemic of just assaults and murders and rapes, all of these horrible things happening to American citizens at the hands of illegal aliens. And so that's basically what caused them to move forward with the vision of the Remembrance Project.
Maria, are you with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Now we can.
Yes, we can. You're coming in loud and clear.
Wonderful, thank you.
We have people now sprawled all across the western states, and we managed to get them all triangulated here.
Okay.
Maria, give us a little overview on why you guys started the Remembrance Project.
I will, and thank you, Erin, for having me on. And Ruth, thank you so much for reaching out and setting up this interview. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, she called me the day after the election. She's like, hey, we should talk about this. I thought, oh, my gosh, you're right.
Absolutely. We're very excited. And as Ruth mentioned, my husband Tim and I started this in 2009 because there were two officers in Houston who were killed. And one of the stories mentioned there was a lawsuit in Rodney Johnson's killing. And I just couldn't figure out why there was a lawsuit when it was in line of duty death. So what went wrong, in other words? And that's where we learned about Sanctuary City policies. And we just could not get our heads wrapped around the fact that individuals who were illegally in the country were placed above citizens and had more rights and got away with criminal activity. So naively, I thought that we would be able to bring this to the attention of the correct officials and authorities and say, look, what's going on? How is this happening? And lo and behold, we found out that they already knew, of course. And again, naively, I thought that. And here we are, Aaron, 7 years later, and the families who we work with have testified in their own state houses and also in Congress for several years now. And I know families and mothers who've been testifying for nearly 20 years, and nothing has been done. You know, it's just pointing different at one another, and no one's doing anything, and they don't want to do it. So that's why we're so excited and supportive of what Mr. Trump has said all along, which is enforcing current laws, enforcing the borders, and placing American families first.
But this isn't a problem just with sanctuary cities, is it? I mean, this is nationwide problem.
It is. There are so many sanctuary city policies in effect all across the United States. And that is just the tip of the iceberg. But there is no enforcement either along the border, the exterior, nor the interior, which is has to do with enforcing immigration laws and employment laws. So this goes beyond just sanctuary cities. But let's start at the beginning, which is the very best basic and the fundamental duties that our government has, and that is to keep our borders secure, to keep Americans safe, and enforce current laws. We don't want any new bills. We just want the enforcement of current laws, and let's start right there. In fact, if you look at some of the laws like Kate's Law, you know, that was a stronger sentence on illegal aliens reentering. That's just sort of the gist of it. But if we're not enforcing current laws, Aaron, then why are we wasting our time in trying to make those laws tougher?
Exactly. Let's make a whole bunch of new ones while we blow off the ones that are there.
Yeah, we're not enforcing the laws we have.
I am guessing that when Donald Trump kind of came on the scene and made the illegal immigration situation a giant, yeah, I mean, that just hit the world like a ton of bricks. I bet you guys freaked out.
Absolutely. I remember exactly where I was when we were talking to different families and saying, you know, we can support his words as the Remembrance Project is a nonprofit organization. We can certainly support and ask for current laws till the cows come in, I say. We can testify according to that, and it just is the very basics. It's unbelievable that we have to ask and testify and demand over and over and over for current laws to be enforced. So, you know, Mr. Trump was telling the truth. He said that Mexico isn't sending their very best. And it is true. That another element that has nothing to do with the Remembrance Project, however, Tim and I realized quickly through our research and looking for the murders across the United States, we expanded that from just Texas. We also found that child molestation was a big problem in that illegal alien demographic. There were so many illegal aliens who were already in jail, who had were in jail because of child molestation, and each of them had 3, 4, 6 children that they had molested. And I just can't fathom what is taking place and our officials because of the open border group, special interest lobbyists, because they have the ear and the vote of the politician instead of the citizenry like those politicians are supposed to represent.
Sure. And we need to take a really quick break, but when we come back, I'd like you to talk about the media's role in all this.
because there's a reason that people opposed him and called him a racist and everything. And I'd venture to guess, because I know we interviewed you guys a year and a half ago, and learned about your project, spoke with Jamil Shaw's dad. And most people just don't even realize how widespread this is. So hopefully we start this new adventure here in with a new presidency, with people getting their information out, people like you guys who have actual facts. You're listening to We the People Radio. We will be right back with Ruth and Maria from the Remembrance Project. You're listening to We the People Radio.
Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
Theme song for you guys.
You're back with We the People Radio. We're chatting with Maria and Ruth. Ruth, you've been awfully quiet.
Well, you know, I'm listening to what Maria is saying, and absolutely correct. I mean, this is not a victimless crime, illegal immigration. You know, there are many who are suffering from this lawlessness across this beautiful country. There's a lot of pain out there, and because of my participation with the Remembrance Project, I've personally spoken to parents, spouses, siblings, and other family members who have lost loved ones at the hands of illegal aliens. And now, you know, we're dealing with the refugees that are being brought in from countries who have known animosity toward the American way of life. So this is a serious situation. It involves our national security. And for once, we have a president-elect who is going to do everything in his power to place American lives first. So this is a good time for America.
And
I hope and pray that those who are out there protesting will realize that it's going to strengthen this nation. It's going to provide us the national security that we deserve as a people, to know that when we send our families out, that they will be safe. You know, when I kissed my husband goodbye on that fateful day, he was working as a police officer, and while responding to an incident at a bank, an individual who was here illegally pointed a gun at him. And at that moment, an innocent bystander walked right in between them. This was an elderly man. And my husband, having regard for this innocent man's life, took that moment to push him out of direct line of fire. And it was at that point that my husband was shot in the neck. And it severed his vocal cord. And, you know, when my husband fell to the ground, he was paralyzed. And we were married for just 5 months when this took place.
Oh, wow.
And we spent the better portion of the first year in a hospital. And, you know, I was just beyond elated when I heard him say three words to me for the first time after fighting and fighting to regain his voice. He just said, "I love you." And he began to fight for everything that he could. He regained the voice, regained his hands and arms, and he was given an opportunity to apply for a disability retirement, but he rejected it. You know, the brave man that he was, he returned to work. But his health just continued to deteriorate. I don't know if you're aware of spinal cord injuries, but there's so many complications to them. And I was trained to essentially be his nurse, provide all the care for him at home. But when he went back to work, he wore, you know, external catheters because his bladder was affected. And individuals with spinal cord injuries are 20 times greater, more susceptible of getting bladder cancer. And unfortunately, he was one of those. And it's a very rare form of cancer. And but he worked for 10 years back in the department from a wheelchair. And in that time, you know, this brave man, he received numerous awards, you know, following the shooting, you know, which include the Medal of Valor, Congressional Award, Silver Star for Bravery, Legion of Honor Award. He received recognition from the California State Legislature, State Hero of the Year by the Senate, and also an award that was created in my late husband's honor, and that was the Don Johnston Man of Courage Award. But back to the Remembrance Project. I can't tell you how much I appreciate what Maria is doing for us. You know, because for many, you just feel isolated. You feel as if these individuals that are in this country, they have more rights than we do. You know, and as part of this Remembrance Project, I've had an opportunity to speak to parents and spouses, siblings, and other family members who've lost loved ones at the hands of illegal aliens and who are now dealing with just the insult to injury of there not being a national program to assist them through this nightmare that they're enduring. And what Maria has set forth is a national program. And this national program is it's going to provide so much for these families who have been just absolutely devastated by these crimes committed on them and their loved ones. And this program, it will assist them with burial expenses, medical and counseling costs. It'll help the families to navigate through the court system that it so often shows more consideration for the criminal illegal alien than it does the victimized family. And, you know, I was talking to someone about all the national programs that help illegal aliens navigate to coming to America and just being able to live. And there isn't a national program for those of us who have suffered at the hands of these illegal aliens. So I commend and just kudos all the way for Maria and Tim for providing us with an organization that assists us through all this red tape and just allows our voices to be heard. Thank you, Maria.
No, thank you, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth, for giving us that. The big question that I have in all this is what happened to the person who actually shot your husband?
Well,
did anything actually happen to him?
Yes. During the multiple hearings, we were not able to go because my husband was fighting for his life in the hospital. However, my husband was out of the hospital when the sentencing hearing took place. We did attend that. It was the first time I saw the man that shot my husband. And he was given 17.4 years in prison. And our life, there was so much taken from us, you know, the ability to have children, the family that we so wanted, just having to take care of my husband, the man who, my best friend, you know, the love of my life, like a child, you know, taking care of medical needs that you never expected. We just thought 17 years, and we knew that he would probably be released much sooner than that. But after the trial, the prosecutor told us that he was in the country illegally and that he would most likely face deportation hearings at the completion of his sentence. But before that, any of that took place, this man committed suicide. He hung himself in his cell. And, you know, my husband and I wanted to feel relief. We wanted to feel happy about this, but, you know, we couldn't. You know, these are two lives that were completely destroyed, you know, lives that were from two worlds apart. But all of this could have been avoided, you know, had this individual not be allowed to be in this country because of his illegal status. So that's why, you know, we're so thankful, you know, that Mr. Trump has listened to our concerns. And he is the only candidate that actually accepted the invitation to speak to Remembrance families. And so because of that, we know that he's going to do everything in his everything possible to correct this horrible scenario that is playing out in so many American lives.
Is just curious, did this individual have a previous criminal record? And the reason I ask that is
that happens a lot.
Yeah, and like I say, the reason I ask that is Trump has made it pretty clear that You know, they're all afraid that, you know, families are going to get deported, blah, blah, blah. But he's really going after the criminal element.
Correct.
on the deportation side first. And that's going to be a huge job in itself. But what about this individual? Was he a criminal?
Well, we tried to obtain information, but it was very protected. The only thing that we were ever told about this individual was at the hearing, the sentencing hearing, and that was that he was here illegally. Had he committed crimes in the past, we were unaware of. And see, that's one of the biggest problems with everything that's taking place. Just a night ago, I spoke to an Orange County sheriff, and he was telling us that, you know, we have separate cells for illegal aliens. And we, you know, they have more rights than American citizens. We're not allowed to speak to them. I mean, they are just basically protected. And so, you know, as far as knowing, as far as, you know, the reports that are out, the articles that are out on murders and crimes, they don't release the status of the criminal. And that, I hope, changes, because I think America truly needs to know what we're up against. I believe that, you know, protecting them by not releasing this information about their background does no one any good.
No, I would agree to that.
No, that'll just... And the thing is, this is really common sense. You guys are advocating for something that's very common sense, but... Okay, for real, this time when we come back, we need to talk about how the media spins it. I'm actually going to make a note. Not my strong suit, but we're going to make a note. We'll come right back in a couple of minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio. We're here with Maria Espinoza. Sorry. Okay, I'm going to start coughing. So we're here with Ruth as well, with the Remembrance Project. See you right 2 minutes.
Why you look so sad? The tears are in your eyes. Come on and come to me now. Don't be ashamed to cry. Let me see you through. Cause I've seen the dark side too. When the night falls on you, you don't know what to do. Nothing you confess could make me love you. I'll stand by you. I'll stand by you. Won't let nobody hurt you. I'll stand by you. Oh, tears make kaleidoscopes in your eyes. It hurt. I know you're hurting, but so am I. And love, if your wings are broken,
even if our music breaks up a little, we're still going to stand by you. You're listening to We the People. We're here with Ruth Johnston Martin and Maria Espinoza with the Remembrance Project.
Okay, so Maria, talk to us about what you guys see happening in the media and how people are being really just misinformed.
Yes, and again, it takes Mr. Trump to bring that to the nation's attention and to basically pull the curtain back and expose the media. And I think you might have seen that there was a letter from the New York Times that said they were basically going to try and be more truthful and forthcoming with the news so that to the people. So, you know, I don't believe that, but at least, you know, and that says a lot, Aaron, where a media outlet like the New York Times is coming out and saying, hey, you know, we haven't been very honest in the past, but we're going to try a little bit harder. You know, and it's just an outrage. But I think it also speaks to the fact that maybe their subscriptions have been a little bit lower. You know, why buy a paper or go to their online newspaper and subscribe when you're not going to get the truth? You know, so I'm remain very skeptical about that. But, you know, the media is to blame for this as well. And that's one reason why that we created the Stolen Lives Quilt banners, which memorializes Americans who've been killed. But also it paints the picture for the public. And mm-hmm. we sort of do the media's job in connecting the dots for Americans to so they know that in Houston, Texas, there's killings of by illegal aliens, and but you don't, they're not reported. Or a small town in Conroe, north of here, another killing by an illegal alien. But guess what? It only stays local, and many times they don't even mention that the person should not have been in the country to begin with. So that's why we created the Stolen Lives Quilt banners. And many times, you know, it's a huge help, Aaron, because, and we have the memorial shirts as well, because where else are we going to get the information? You know,
sure.
when Donald Trump didn't come, you know, wasn't around, and, you know, for 7 years we've been saying this, and people have been working on this issue and trying to sound the alarm for decades.
So for all those people that think that that the illegal aliens are all just coming here for a better life, and they're just coming here to work, and this idea that there's a criminal element, how big is it? Do you have some numbers for people?
No, I'm sorry. What was the exact question? How many people are here illegally?
No, I mean, you know, do you have a sense of how many of the people flowing across our border are actually criminals or become criminals?
Well, honestly, if you're entering a country without permission, that's illegally entering a country, that is wrong in itself. That is a criminal act, period. You know, I don't know anyone. I mean, would you go into another country without your passport? I don't think any of us would. We wouldn't even think of it. But so, you know, that's the problem. But look at the result and how much of a tragedy it is to a family. And we know so many, you know, in Ruth's case is exactly what we're talking about. Ruth and her husband and her entire family would have been spared this horrible tragedy that Ruth has affected Ruth personally for the rest of her life. You know, the fact that they wanted children, they wanted a family and weren't able to have a child because someone should not have been here in the country, and here they were in this situation, you know, and, some people try to argue the fact that, well, Americans commit crime. Yes, we're not saying that. You know, they're not listening to us, and they want to twist what we say into their own little agenda. But ours is, like you said, it's common sense, Aaron. And if we uphold current laws and follow the immigration and employment laws, we're going a long way to for Americans to have a nicer life. You know, let's think about Americans. We have over 94 million Americans jobless right now. Look mm-hmm. at our national debt, $20 trillion. How are we going to get out of it? But yet, these lobbyists continue to push open borders and hiring illegal aliens, and we still help other countries with U.S. foreign aid. You know, we've got a huge problem if we don't kind of bring it back home. We're not going to dig ourselves out of it, beginning with enforcing current laws. And you can see the mayhem that's on the street right now. It's out of hand.
Sure.
And
in California, and we're ready to release a bunch of prisoners again, thanks to voters.
Right.
Have chosen to
exactly.
do the prison, release again. Tell me this: you have a link on your you have a tab actually on your website. America First Latinos. So
yes.
This isn't just a bunch of, you know, white people who hate immigrants, blah, 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 blah.
Like, well, I'm not white.
I know, I wasn't going to bring up your brownness, but, you know, but that's what always happens is, you know, it's just a bunch of, I mean, what you heard on Tuesday was that they had no idea there were so many bigots in the country. Oh, my gosh, and they all voted. It's like, how mental do you have to be to think that this the people who come here, who actually legally come to this country for a better life and for opportunity, would not want to stand and defend the country they live in.
No, absolutely. And again, we can point back to the media. It's so very difficult and has been difficult for Hispanics, Latinos, to be interviewed and to and be heard on television, to where we can say we don't agree with that. You know, hey, we're jumping up and down, waving our arms, doing everything that we can, you know, doing somersaults to get the attention
but
of the media.
But that just blows their whole deal. That just
it does.
That just ruins
does,
their entire
it?
Program.
Right, right. Then they can't say that they point to this certain agenda and be able to say that if you believe in upholding current laws, then you're a racist.
Yeah.
You know, no, but the America First Latinos initiative, we started last year because there was so much of a demand for Latinos to be heard. And there are so many. You can see, if the media would show it, I guess Mr. Trump is probably the one that who would print the pictures, you know, upload the photos of, you know, Latinos for Trump, you know, Asians for Trump. You have so many. If you go to a Trump rally, this is what I say, it looks like a rock concert. You could not figure out where you were. Don't you think, Ruth, if you
Absolutely.
Looked out into the audience, you would not know where that you were at a political event. You know, this is about America and Americans being heard. And finally, I feel the relief from so many Americans. And everyone, you know, we're all Americans. You know, white, brown, black, purple, pink, whatever. We're all Americans, and that's what we want. And, Ruth, wouldn't you agree that if you go to a rally, you don't know where you are?
It was such an eclectic event. I heard Spanish being spoken there. There were Chinese for Trump supporters there speaking their dialect. It was just, it was so amazing to see just all of these different races that were there. We're all American citizens. But, you know, listen, Florida was delivered to Trump. There were many Cuban Americans who voted for Mr. Trump because they believe in law and order. They believe that just like them, people should enter this country legally. And Texas, you know, there are many, many Latinos, many Mexican-Americans who voted for Donald Trump. Same thing. Mm-hmm. So this whole thing of Trump supporters being racist and all of this other garbage that's being put out there couldn't be further from the truth. We are all American citizens. Soy Latina. I'm Latin myself. And I am absolutely in support of law and order. Without it, it's anarchy, and that is what we're seeing on the streets today.
Yes.
So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we selected the right candidate. And I am so, I just can't say it enough, President-elect Trump.
Well, how did you guys become connected with him during the campaign? Did they already know about you guys?
He stumbled across process when he heard, I think it was Jamil Shah on the radio, and that was as soon as Mr. Trump announced and said those words, you know, we had all of our members and families say to go on the radio and comment and post and certainly defend Mr. Trump's words. We could support his words, but of course we could not endorse him. Personally, the family members can endorse, and personally, I can as well, but, you know, it's not what we were, that's not our focus. Our focus was we have someone who is speaking the truth, and media, you know, the left media, and it really most all media were attacking him, and, you know, this is what we've been saying all along, that is true, you know, so I believe that's how Mr. Trump first came across Jamil Shah, then they found the Remembrance Project and these families who were connected with us and we work with. And he asked for a meeting in California. We had five families there in California in Beverly Hills. It wasn't publicized. The media did not broadcast it. But Mr. Trump met with them privately and he took them out in front of the podium and they told exactly what happened to their families. And I guess about 3 months later is when he brought them on stage during a speech, a national stage in Beaumont, Texas. And then from there, it's just been, he has been excellent this entire 18 months.
That's great. Well, you guys know better than most people what the, you know, the downside of the illegal immigrants here, especially the people who are here for, well, they've all broken the law to get here, but the people who are definitely here for the wrong reasons and the wrong motives.
Right. And, right, exactly.
But it has been a long haul, you know, just, you know, 2 years of, you know, you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a hater, blah, blah, blah. It must be actually kind of funny for you, though.
It's mind-boggling, and I think Ruth can attest to this as well. I mean, I'm constantly looking at articles that come up, and they're talking about them racist and all, and I just don't get it. Like, there's nothing about being a racist when you're having to do with enforcing current laws and enforcing our borders and placing the citizens of this country first.
Right, and the whole idea that no, you know, that no Latino, you know, people support him and no immigrants support him. And you guys are like, wait,
yeah,
what about us? What about us?
Again, gets back to the whole media thing, you know.
Exactly.
What are you going to believe? What are you going to believe?
The spin was in high speed. I linked an article to our website that I hope people will take the time to read. It was very good. Came out of CBS News, and it was entitled "The Unbearable Smugness of the Press with Presidential Election 2016," and it's written by a CBS news guy about the press,
and how wrong they were.
Well, it was probably the most honest assessment of how they got to the conclusions they did and how they went through the election. But it was very much like your New York Times thing. You know, we're going to have to start doing a little more actual reporting. And there were like 1,600 comments after this thing. And every single one of them started with who, what, where, when, why. You know?
Right.
I mean, welcome to journalism 101.
Them, you know, and maybe it's me, but I just wouldn't trust them because I just really believe they want to build their readership.
Right. I'm not going to subscribe, but I thought, you know, it's interesting, though, that they are actually they've been put in such a box. Now they actually have to say something. Otherwise, it just really looks bad.
Well, they've turned the whole thing into an entertainment industry and not a news reporting agency.
Well, they were going to tell us what to do, and we were going to go do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about opinion and not news.
Yeah. Well, they think the cities run the country.
Well, they kind of do.
So the Electoral College that everybody kind of hates, hooray for them.
Well, thanks to WikiLeaks, we now know that
some of the news stations
you know, we're asking what questions to ask the candidates, you know, candidate Trump. We saw that there was coercion between some of the news stations and the DNC. So, I mean, there is no way of trying to skirt this issue.
Right. Donna Brazile and her whole thing. We'll be right back. We've got to take one more quick break. And we're chatting with Maria and Ruth from the Remembrance Project. And if you don't know about them, please go to the Remembrance Project. Oh, I'm going to get it wrong. .org, ladies?
The Remembrance Project.org.
.org. Okay, good. I was right. And it's linked on our website, wethepeopleradio.us. Start doing that again. What a great idea. Looking out for number one. All right, so we have about 5 minutes. What have we not covered, ladies? What do people need to know?
One thing that I just wanted to bring up about the news media itself, when we attended the Phoenix, Arizona rally, we were brought out, some of the families were brought out the first part of the rally, and we were all pretty shocked when the media scrubbed us from the feed of the rally itself. When Mr. Trump saw what they had done, he insisted that we be brought back out during his important speech and retell a portion of our stories. He wanted to make sure that the American public knew what was going on, and because he did that, he allowed our voices to be heard across this great nation, and the public now knows the truth, you know, about our loved ones being killed by criminals in this country illegally. The public now knows that our laws are not being enforced and our borders are not being protected. And the American public now knows that our loved ones' tragic deaths, they were absolutely preventable. But because of the current administration, their unwillingness to enforce the laws and protect our borders, they are gone. And so, you know, I saw the media through different lenses this time around. I was so shocked at their absolute push to suppress our stories and our voices. And once again, I go back to being very grateful for the Remembrance Project and also for Mr. Trump, who was willing to listen and allow our voices to be heard. And, you know, at the end of the day, his policies, they are going to strengthen this country. And I know deep in my heart that those right now that are protesting, they too will benefit from these policies. But I think that down the road, they're going to wake up and realize the world didn't end. It didn't end. We're a stronger place. We're a safer place. There are better jobs. There are higher wages, you know, all the way around. But I think that this media has done so much to cast a shadow on Mr. Trump, President-elect Trump. But, you know, the truth will be revealed in itself as he begins to lead this nation. And I believe he will successfully lead this nation to her former glory days. We will see greatness.
Yes, absolutely. And, Aaron, I want to thank you and your station and everyone who works with you for having us on, because it's so very important. And I want to give our website out and ask people to join us in your areas at theremembranceproject.org. You can sign up and just get involved and help spread the message. And, Ruth, thank you so very much. Ruth has been a blessing to our organization. And you, as you can tell, she's a believer, a Christian woman, and she and her husband have just been a blessing. And we're very fortunate with the Remembrance Project to have them with us. Unfortunately, it's because of her husband was killed by an illegal alien, her first husband. I'll make that clear. I'm so glad that you're with us, Ruth. We love you. We appreciate you, and you know, we pray for you. So thank you for praying for us and for President-elect Mr. Trump as well.
Yeah, it's a horrible club to become part of. I mean, it's good it's good you all have each other, but I hope your numbers stop growing.
Absolutely. But with that said, I just want to reach out to all of you who are listening who have possibly been affected by crimes committed by illegal aliens. I just want you to know that we are here for you. And if you need someone to talk to, if you need someone to circle the wagon around you, just go to our www.theremembranceproject.org, and you have a friend in us, and we will help see you through this nightmare that you're going through.
As only people who have lived it can do. Thank you, ladies. We appreciate you. And I do hope people go to your site. Your site has a lot of great information, theremembranceproject.org, and how people can participate, how they could spread the word, and interview information. Get you on their local stations. There's nothing like hearing from the people in real life, you know?
Thank you. God bless you.
Well, we'll talk to you guys later once all this stuff starts unfolding. We'll see where we're headed. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Aaron. Thank you, Maria, for giving us this opportunity, and thank you for the vision that you had to just create this incredible organization, the Remembrance Project. God bless you, Maria.
Absolutely. You're welcome. God bless you, too, Ruth. Take care.
See you guys next week.
Bye, Aaron.
You can find everything for us online. The archive will be up shortly. WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Thanks, everybody. America, the good Lord's on our side.